was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever fought a wild animal barehanded. Today's title is My Teacher Wrestled a Wildcat. Jason, is it wrestled or wrestled?
Well, it's wrestled, but that's actually happens to be one of my favorite, like, country words. You want to wrestle me? You want to wrestle me?
It just sounds more serious than wrestle for some reason, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, okay. It's a very, very old-fashioned way of putting that.
I think so. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who actually prefers all talk and no action. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
Some fighting words there. Now you want to wrestle me?
Exactly. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, our main event will examine a non-celebrity death match between a wildcat and a teacher. We will also hear how children view history in our Kidstorian segment. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
I'll call you back. My party line neighbor needs to call the druggist.
In emergencies, folks need the telephone fast. They appreciate when you release the line. Here are four easy rules that add up to goodwill and good service on the party line. Share the line freely with others. Release the line in an emergency. Answer your telephone promptly. Give called party time to answer. Southern Bell Telephone and Telegraph Company.
Can you imagine?
Can you?
You pick up the phone.
I'm supposed to trust those people, not to listen?
Right. Yeah, they're going to, on the honor system,
right,
hang up and not listen to anything that you're talking about, especially the good stuff.
Well, of course, you had to listen to it. What I'm wondering, too, though, now, I never thought about this before with this party line, but let's say I answer it and it's not for me. Then what happens? Everybody has to answer it and say, is it for me? Is it for me? No, you got Bob. You're looking for Rick.
Well, surely.
How would that at work? You can't.
Surely it only rings you.
But
when,
we're on the party.
When it's your. Now, I don't know the answer to this. So
I asked a really stupid question is what you're saying.
Well, no. I mean,
it rings
really
me, but I'm sharing the line.
Yeah. So
I have my own number. Oh,
you will have your own number. Other people.
Why am I sharing the line then?
Just resources,
wires,
I guess.
Okay.
Limited number of resources,
right.
Wires, poles. And
so any moment you get bored, you just pick it up. Maybe something's going on. Maybe it isn't.
You could probably listen to that all day long.
And it's your neighbors, too. So
yeah, so you'll know them a little bit. And it'd be like a soap opera. It'd be like, it's time to listen to the Daily Jason's World, you know?
We should look up how many people got killed for listening to their neighbors' secret conversations.
I bet you could probably, if you scoured
the court
records.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question that something like that would make you march over there to their place and be like, are you listening to my conversations? Yeah, that's something I'm really glad went away.
I guess, though, if that's the best you got, then you're like, I'm happy to have my phone party line. I don't care.
So they just call it FISA warrants.
Okay, yeah.
but back then it was your neighbors.
Keep going, Brent.
Okay, then, before we get into too much trouble, let's listen to the cutest segment in the history of history podcasting.
Kidstorians.
I think it's a lady fixing a car.
It's like World War II when all the men were off to battle and the woman had to stay at home to fix everything. I think she's just trying to fix a car so army men can get to the battle. It's like a Rosie the Riveter.
He said Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, so this was very smart.
Did he just pull that one out? He knew that one?
He did. I had shown him about 4 months ago some color photos from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They were, some of them were down in Nashville, and they were working on airplanes, things like that. So they were the real Rosie the Riveter types.
Yeah.
And just from that one instance of knowing that, he sort of recognized what he was seeing there.
Right. Yeah. Maybe the nature of the picture looked old to him. They understand, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So her name was Virginia Lively, and she had been a beauty operator, which I guess is a woman who works in a beauty shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then because of the war, they had service attendants at the gas stations, and she moved into that job.
Right.
And what she was doing in there is inflating the tire, checking the tire pressure, that kind of thing.
Okay. What was the, I mean, just a random person, or how do you know her name exactly?
That photo came from the Library of Congress. It was taken in Louisville, Kentucky in 1943.
But it wasn't an advertisement or anything like that. It was just...
No, it was a government program. They ran around just taking photographs of all of everything all over the country.
Okay.
And it was basically a wartime
like propaganda
cheerleading
a little
kind
bit.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 100% what that was. That photo's a little bit famous. You'll see it from time to time in a little bit famous. You'll see it on PBS, KT.
Okay, they'll pull that one out.
It's that level of famous.
Okay.
So not super famous like the sailor kissing the woman at the end of World War II or something.
Right.
But it's maybe a next level down or next two levels down, something like that.
I wonder if they ever figured out who that couple was, the kissing couple, you know, the famous picture. Did they?
There are people who claim to be those
That's
people.
What happens, right.
Yeah. Now, there are two that I believe are fairly well established as being the ones.
They think they know.
Yeah, maybe. Now, it's a really funny story about that one. That guy was actually on a date with another girl and then grabbed the girl in the picture and kissed her.
Yeah, I know. People did that.
No, they didn't.
But it was the end of a war.
Well, now the celebrating, but...
Still, the hands off.
And do you know that she married him? Not the kissing girl, but the girl who was on the date who wasn't kissed.
Okay.
So I don't know. He must have been pretty slick because I cannot imagine how
he
pulled that
off. And then she just lived
off.
With that picture, like for the rest of her life.
And you know, he had to live with that picture too. you know, probably like 1986. Do you remember back in 1945 when this happened? And
at least I wasn't in a famous kissing picture with your friend.
Yeah, so for sure, that was definitely a minefield to go through if you were that guy. Now, though, Jason, it's time for the moment that we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one. Jason, this is the story of Wildcat McKinney. Don't you just like that as a nickname?
Yeah, as cool nicknames go, that's a pretty good one.
Unless you got it in a bad way. And that's actually the case with this guy. But that is a cool nickname.
We're going to find out?
We're going to find out. Though the pioneers of Kentucky endured many murderous attacks, there were other dangers which were not trifling. One of the most exciting of these incidents was the experience of a man named John McKinney, who was employed at an early day by the people of Lexington as their first teacher. At that time, Kentucky had no newspaper, and items of interest from the states beyond the mountains were eagerly greeted by all. In May 1783, a traveler passing through the embryo city of what is now the capital of our famed Bluegrass section brought with him a newspaper containing the Articles of Peace with Great Britain. So this is a big moment in time. This is going to be the Treaty of Paris concluding the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, and somebody shows up with that with a paper that they're not getting.
Yeah.
And just the news itself.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're not getting the news, and here's the news. All were anxious to read them. So here's kind of a problem. There's one paper.
Well, no, he showed up with one, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. The fact that the articles had not yet been ratified did not lessen the interest of the citizens. That's a formality. So I can understand that's not a problem.
I guess you could sometimes just find out later, we've been at war for several months. Other situations.
Or at peace.
You don't even know. Yeah.
In those wars, especially Revolutionary War, War of 1812, of course, the famous thing is Andrew Jackson, Battle of New Orleans, the war was over with.
Right, didn't need to fight it.
They had no idea, but they fought it anyway because they just hadn't heard yet. And so this is the slow nature of news dissemination in the 18th century. exactly correct. A copy of any paper was a treat, and such news as the articles meant great hope for the struggling settlers. As the gentleman would resume his journey the following day and take with him the much-prized paper, there goes the news.
He can't just leave the paper for those poor people.
No, it's too valuable.
He hasn't finished reading it.
Either that or he just needs it because he's going to show the next town.
Right.
I don't know. It just, we live in such a different world. I mean,
you just conk him on the head and take his paper.
I got mugged. Why? I had a newspaper. Some of the citizens appealed to McKinney.
There you go.
To copy the articles of peace. So he's a teacher. He's literate. He's kind of known for being literate and whatever. And they said, hey, look, make a copy of this for us because we want to be able to read it after this other guy leaves town with the newspaper. Exactly right. At this time, Lexington was only a cluster of about 30 cabins. It is hard to imagine, even in the bluegrass region, these times where the settlements are so small. But it's that's what they are.
Everything has to start like that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where they were. So it's just a very super small community at that time. One which stood just outside the fort, near the present side of the courthouse, was used as a schoolroom.
Thither.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Thither, the next morning, the teacher who went to copy the precious news of peace. While busily writing, he heard a noise. So that's the first red flag, right? You're in a schoolhouse all alone and you hear something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I remember now.
Yeah.
Gonna fight him a bar.
Close. And glancing up, saw a very unusual and unwelcome guest. A ferocious wildcat with bristles erect, tail curled, and eyes flashing had paused on the threshold and was peering around the room. Remember that it's a small community. And when you're moving into Kentucky like this, it's sort of like building a subdivision in the middle of a nature reserve.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of creatures still running around.
Sure, yeah.
They've got buffalo, wild turkeys, all kinds of things.
It's going to eat some of those, too, so that's good.
Yeah, but this one's a predator, and right, that's kind of a different story. At first, she did not see McKinney, but by some involuntary movement, he attracted her attention, and she soon exhibited other than friendly emotions. I like the way that was worded, right?
Yeah.
Other than friendly emotions.
Just giving her the benefit of the doubt.
I suppose. Having been accustomed to subdue the backwoods boys and girls by the awfulness of his frown, he's going to give it the teacher look.
Give it the look.
This is great.
Yeah.
The teacher tried the same tactics now. Don't you dare move, you wildcat. And then glance her down. We'll see if that works. But the cat was not to be frowned down. As the teacher reached for a rule, so we're going to grab the ruler, kind of like
smack those hands.
Okay, so look, you can smack a kid, you can smack a wildcat. I kind of like the way this teacher's thinking, right? Like, I'm going to go through every teacher bag of tricks that I've got. That's really
send
cool.
A note home to your parents.
Yeah, that'll be like the stage three of of intimidating this wildcat. That's right. As the teacher reached for a rule, she, with the ferocity of a lion, sprang upon him, fastened her claws in his side, began tearing his clothes, mangling his flesh, and inflicting such serious wounds that the blood flowed copiously.
Okay. Not funny anymore.
No, all of a sudden it's turned really serious. That's true.
Okay.
But yet we're laughing still. Maybe it's just we don't know what else
to
do. She
sank those teeth in.
Yeah. Knowing he could not long withstand her power and despairing of aught else to do. That's a great phrase.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the aught. We don't say aught.
Aught else to do. He threw his weight upon her. So, I mean, he's in the death match now. So it's
when you're
man
like,
versus beast.
Right, when that's like you got nothing left.
The
just
adrenaline.
Collapse on something. Yeah. Or
yeah.
Another person or whatever.
Yeah. He threw his weight upon her and pressed her against the sharp corner of the table. Soon her weird cries were mingled with his calls of distress. And ere long, the citizens knew something unusual was happening in the little schoolhouse. The women were first to answer the cry of alarm. Reaching the door, they paused to discover the cause of the commotion, and seeing Mr. McKinney bending over the table, writhing and groaning, they at first glance thought he had a severe attack of cramp. So they're coming, they hear
similar symptoms. Yeah,
oh, this leg cramp. It's
yeah,
it's really got me. You ever had a Charlie horse like that where you were really locked up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. But he's doubled over in bleeding pain.
Yeah, I suppose that maybe the second glance.
Don't they see the blood? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe at the second glance you see all the blood and the gigantic beast inside.
Right.
Yeah. But quickly seeing the cat, one lady exclaimed, "Why, Mr. McKinney, what is the matter?" Now, that's a lot of help, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, what's going on in here? So now he's got to explain himself and fight off the cat.
Do you think they're still fighting?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
He very gravely replied, "Madam, I have caught a cat." By this time, the cat was lifeless, but her teeth were so deeply embedded in his side.
Boy.
Now, you hear about this, right? Like all these pounds of pressure.
Right,
That
clap.
Coyotes have or alligators have. So the same thing's going to happen with this big cat.
Yeah. Still stuck in his body.
Yeah. Deeply embedded in his side that the neighbors, many of whom had gathered by this time, had great difficulty in disengaging her.
What a sight that would be.
That's a job, too. It's like, can you open this cat's mouth and get it off me? The shock, the wound, and the loss of blood made McKinney very sick and weak. And for several days, he was confined to his bed while the boys and girls enjoyed a holiday. Now, this is kind of another funny twist on this.
Oh, the teacher's gone.
Yeah. So you've heard of snow days and earthquake days.
Yeah. Didn't really have substitutes back then.
I bet not.
You know, a teacher's sick, then you're like,
class is canceled.
Good. Yeah.
And students love it.
Yeah.
When class is canceled. He lived to a ripe old age and was often heard to say he would rather fight two Indians than one wildcat.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm sure he had to tell this story. Hey, McKinney, can you tell us about the wildcat again?
Right. And he became Wildcat McKinney.
Yeah. It's kind of like, In our family, my extended family, there was a guy who kicked a poodle, and he became Poodle.
Okay.
You get associated with certain things, and that's the way it works.
Did you ever watch The Office?
John McKinney.
You ever watch The Office?
I did watch The Office.
That one character, he had tuna sandwich one time, and another friend of his called him Tuna.
Big
forevermore.
Yeah. That's
hey,
exactly the kind of thing. And speaking of tuna and other ingestibles, let's pay a few bills here. At 7, at 17, at 70, to cure biliousness, sick headache, constipation, malaria, liver complaints, take the safe and certain remedy, Smith's Bile Beans. Use the small size, 40 little beans to the bottle. They are the most convenient, suitable for all ages. Prices of either size, 25 cents per bottle.
So what's bilious?
That is today what we would call indigestion.
Yeah, okay. That sounded like probably that.
And you read about it so much back then that I think part of what may be going on is that they're having attacks that have those side effects, things like gallbladder maybe. And it's recurring, and so then they're taking these treatments over and over and over again.
Well, you're dead right. I mean, I was looking it up, biliousness.
Oh,
yeah,
it's and good it's, to know that.
I'm not just ignoring you.
Yeah.
Excess secretion of bile, which, as you can imagine, would be unpleasant.
Yeah, and so this claims to be able to fix it. I don't know.
Bile beans.
It's 1890. We've talked about medicines like this before. I just have about zero confidence that any of these things treat anything. I mean, I could be wrong. It might have some sort of active ingredient, but it doesn't say, and it's hard to even know what's real and what's not. It
hardly mattered even, you know, you sell them. Has maybe a psychosomatic effect sometimes, and
yeah, people you move feel on like to the next helping. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it. And now we are moving on to the next thing, just as you say, with the takeaway. So out of all these things that we discussed today, Jason, what has stuck with you the most?
Well, okay, because see, I thought you were going to get to this with Wildcat McKinney.
Ooh, we left something on the table.
Well, I thought it might end that way.
Okay.
Since they're in Lexington.
Yes.
And he's Wildcat McKinney. Is that where we get that?
It is not, sadly.
You know what I mean?
That would have been a great way to get that story.
Right, they got it from the Kentucky Wildcats.
And in fact, if you are at UK right now, you need to be working on a spin job to make this like the reason for the name.
Well, it's a cool reason. The guy fought
it would have
off
been a great reason.
Yeah.
The real reason, though, was it came from the UK football team, and apparently they just had a hard-fought game. And somebody who had witnessed it said that they fought like wildcats.
Yeah, just a tough animal.
Yeah, and then that way the name caught on. But this would be so much cooler. I think maybe we should reinvent the whole backstory.
I heard this is it. Yeah, I heard this is it a few seconds ago. That was a cool idea.
Yeah, it would be great.
I thought you were going to go there, but yeah.
No, because sadly it wasn't the way it happened. But it is a great thing to be thinking about. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear. Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes, the NPR One app, many other places. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. Please leave a review or rate us.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It'd be really
we
nice
want
to
know
have the feedback.
Yay or nay.
Yeah. Even if it's a one star
few
review,
stars.
We know, right?
Yeah, don't trouble yourself with too many stars.
You could just click it up to 3 or 4. That's true.
Yeah.
If you did not like what you heard, you closed that app 20 minutes ago. Thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS, and the rest is history.